Welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you today's teaching from Pastor Cheryl Roberson, because one word from God and you'll never be the same again.
I thank you, Father God, that you open their hearts, open their ears, and open their spirits to hear what you would have to say to them today. I thank you, Father God, that you are speaking to each of us about our own lives. I thank you, Father God, that you have a clear word just for us to hear for our own life. I thank you, and I give you all the glory and the honor, because it's unto you, Father God, that we surrender our lives. We surrender unto your word. We surrender unto your call. We surrender unto everything that you're asking of us, because you are our God. You are our Father. We surrender our all to you today, Father God, to be the blessing in this earth that you have made us to be. You have given each and every one of us a purpose, and we choose to walk in the purpose that you have given us. No more cowering back, no more stepping back, but walking in the fullness of what you have called us to be, so that we can walk in the fullness of the life you have planned for us. We thank you, Father God, and we give you and only you the glory, the honor, and the praise in all things that we do. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Thank God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Mark's request, prayer request this morning that I speak. Praise God. So I'm being obedient and yielding unto him. And I'm doing it this morning with the acknowledgement that God says it's time for you to come out of your comfort zone. So I am coming out of my comfort zone this morning, praise God. But what I want to do this morning, and I just want to let you in on a conversation that God and I have been having on this topic that Pastor Mark has been teaching on restoring and restoration. It has been an eye-opening message for me. It has been a life-changing message for me, because I really see the fullness of what God is doing in this time with our lives as Christians. You know, I was looking and thinking about the pandemic, and we were talking about it Friday, some of the things that we have been going through since the pandemic. And I kind of look at the pandemic as the time of Noah, where we're in the ark and everything else around us has changed, and we have to figure out what our life looks like. You know, people keep saying, I wish things were back to the way they used to were, the way they used to be. But regardless of if we go back to the way it used to be, it still won't be normal for us, because nothing can go back to the way it was. Everything is going to be a new normal. Everything is changed. Is our whole perspective, has changed. So nothing is going to be the same way it used to be. The one thing that God always leads me to is my scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I'm going to read it to you from the NLT. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And when Pastor Mark was talking about restoration or restoring, the first thing I ask is, what am I being restored to? I mean, that's the question that we have to ask. What are we being restored to? God is restoring us to something, but each and every one of us has a different path to take. So we have to know what God is restoring us individually to. So one of the things that he showed me was that during this pandemic, it has really forced us to really look at our lives in a different perspective. And one of the things that he showed me was that we have to look at our heart issue. Where is our heart? Where is our heart truly? I mean, we confess scriptures all the time. We confess God loves me and God is my Father. And we confess these things, but do we truly believe it? Where is our heart? Because now everything has kind of slowed down now. You know, before we were all living in a fast pace. There was always something that we could do. We could get up and go at the drop of a hat. We could get up and do different things at the drop of a hat. But now everything has changed. So now we're starting to having to look at our lives and look at ourselves in a whole different perspective, because things have kind of calmed down now. And God is calling us to a place. Where is your heart truly? Because now you got to face yourself. You can't face, you know, you can't live your life for anybody else. Now you got to face yourself. You got to look at what God is calling you to, what God is doing with your heart. Then he started talking about the trust issues. Who are you really trusting in? A lot of us, I know me, myself, I've had meltdowns. I have had meltdowns. Pastor Mark will tell you, I have had meltdowns. And I'm telling you, this last meltdown, God had to jerk the slack out of me. He stopped me and he said, "Whoa, sister girl." Now, when God says, "Whoa, sister girl," to me, that means that I need to take heed and listen, because that means he's speaking to me, a word to me specifically, because that's how we talk. So when he said, "Whoa, sister girl, what are you doing?" And I started giving God all of this scenarios of everything that was going on, all the situations that were going on. And he stopped me and he said, "What do you have control over?" And Pastor Mark always tells us the only person that we have control over is ourselves. Well, God says, you also have control over the atmosphere that you're in, meaning that you may not have control of the whole house, but you do have control of your room. So you have to start turning things around to where you're in control of your atmosphere. So I started adjusting my trust issue. Lord, I'm trusting you. If I'm really trusting you, then I can change this to my benefit and I can see things changing for me. Then he told me about my faith issue. Oh my gosh, where is your faith? Is your faith in what you see, the circumstances around you? Or is your faith in what the word that you have heard, you have been told? In Luke, I believe it's 1:45, blessed is the woman that has heard from God. I'm going to paraphrase it. And she believes, well, I was hearing from God, but I wasn't truly trusting him and believing him. So I had to up my faith issue. I had to up my faith stance. And I had to really, truly tune in to what God was telling me. Then he got on me about my surrender issue, because that was one of the things, that was one of the words. He told me focus and surrender was the other word that he told me. He said, you have to surrender unto me. That don't mean halfway. That means total surrender unto him. Make sure that I'm totally surrendering to him, to totally sell out, totally rethink everything that I'm going through, totally renew my mind to what his word was truly saying to me. So then I started getting in my word more and started really concentrating on some of the things and some of the scriptures that Pastor was going through. And he led me to this particular scripture that I'm going to read. If you will go with me to Isaiah, he was calling me to a higher place in him. And I said, Lord, call me, because I need to come. Isaiah 42, verses 1-9. It says, and I'm going to read it from the NLT. It says, the Lord, it says, look at my servant whom I strengthen. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wrong. He will not falter or lose heart until justice prevails throughout the earth. Even distant lands beyond the sea will wait for his instruction. God the Lord created the heavens and stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks the earth. And it is he who says, I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by the hand and guard you. I will give you to my people, Israel, as a symbol of my covenant with them. And you will be a light to guide the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with carved idols. Everything I prophesied has come true, and now I will prophesy again. I will tell you the future before it happens. God is speaking to us as a people. There is nothing hidden from us. There is nothing new under the sun for us. Why? Because we have the word. We have the living God on the inside of us. He directs us. He shows us which way to go. He keeps us. He calms us. He protects us. He loves us. He's always there for us. There is nothing that can attack us that we don't win in. Why? Because it doesn't matter, people. It doesn't matter. If we go home to be with the Lord, we still win. But we have some winning to do here on earth that God is calling us to. He wants us to surrender, to totally surrender to who he is. We say, you're my God. Then if I'm your God, then let me be your God totally. Praise God. Praise God. One of the things that God showed me was even with the disciples, he told the disciples to drop your nets and follow me. And when he told me that, it wasn't about the nets. He started talking to me about what my nets were. What is it that I'm holding on to so sacredly that I can't drop them and follow him? Oh my gosh. I had to sit up there and I had to think about my life. I'm thinking about all of the things that has stopped me from living the fulfilled life that God has called me to live. I don't want to live a mediocre life anymore. I want to live a life full of abundance. I hear it in the word of God. Then why am I not living it? I want to live a life of joy and peace. I read it in the word of God. I confess the scriptures. Then why am I not living it? I had to check myself. You know the old saying, check yourself before you wreck yourself? I had to check myself. I had to check myself. He started showing me the complacency in my life. Oh my goodness. He said, are you living your life? Are you accepting what life is giving you? Well, I had to sit back because I said, I'm not living the abundant life. I can tell you that, not the way that you have talked about, Lord. So I said, I guess I'm just accepting life as life gives it to me. And I said, but I apologize. I repent, Father God, because that's not the life you have called me to. That's not my purpose. So then he said, he brought before me my fears. He said, are you living in fear? I live in fear a lot. I just doing this was living in fear. I was like, Lord, I have to repent because, you know, when Pastor Mark tells me I got to speak, the fear comes. Oh, my goodness. It's like pulling teeth and strong teeth at that. But I said, but God started talking to me about myself because he said, what is your fear? And I started thinking my fear was feeling inadequate. And then he started bringing to me about the grasshoppers. He said, you see yourself as a grasshopper. So you think everybody else sees you as a grasshopper. I never told you you were a grasshopper. And I started seeing that. And I'm like, okay, I see where I need to make the necessary adjustment. I need to change my eyesight on who I am. And God, we confess the scriptures all the time of what God, who God says we are. But are we walking in the fullness of it? Because if we are, then fear shouldn't grip us the way that we do. So I had to learn how to walk out of that. I'm still learning how to walk out of that and release myself from the fear. Then he started talking to me about self-doubt. He said, you're always doubting yourself. You're always thinking you can't do it. And God says, but I have put on you everything. I have equipped you with everything that you need to carry out what I have called you to do. But the thing about it is that you comparing yourself, trying to figure out what it is that you're doing different from everybody else. And he said, I never called you to look at anybody else. I am a unique individually. I can only do it like I can do it. And what God has called me to do, regardless of whether somebody can do it better than me, he called me to a specific need. And he said, you can do it because that's what I have called you to. Nobody else can do you like you can do you. So So you have to learn how to walk in the fullness of who I have made you and quit comparing yourself to everybody else, because only one Cheryl Lavette Robertson is in this place. Don't put that on tape. there's only one me. And I have to learn how to walk in the fullness of who I am. So nobody can do me like God has called me to do. And then he started talking about my regrets, my past. He said, didn't I tell you, Cheryl, to stop looking at your past? Your past is behind you. Stop looking in the rearview mirror and look straight ahead. You cannot go forward looking in the rearview mirror, because if you go forward looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to eventually hit something. So I had to stop learning to look in the rearview mirror and start looking forward at God and start looking at the prize, focusing myself on the prize, the call, the highest call, the prize of Christ Jesus. Let go of your regrets and let go of your past, because it can't take you where God wants to take you in your future. Then he started getting on me about my distractions. He said, girl, look, he said, you have enough distractions for 10, 15 people. And I was looking, I'm like, Lord, what are my distractions? He said, do you want me to name them one by one? And I was like, no, because I already knew. I already knew what my distractions were. I knew TV was one of them. I knew my magazines was another. I knew looking for my new house, quote unquote, was one of them. I was so obsessed with that I forgot that God has already told me that he's going to bless my socks off with the house of my dreams. And I'm like, I have not found that yet. But what he told me to do was find an image of something a house that you really want to see yourself in. And I want you to look at that house every day and start putting your stuff in that house. So that's what I have started doing. But I don't let it compromise my time with him. My time with him is sacred. So every morning I am up. That's my sacred time with God. And I make sure that I'm spending my sacred time with him, because he has to come first before anything else. And we have to learn how to put God first before anything else. A lot of us are busy doing stuff, but are we doing what God has called us to do? One of the things that he showed me was, Cheryl, you can be so busy. And even in the kingdom of God, you can be so busy that you miss what I am calling you to. And then we get so busy that we miss what God has called us to fulfill, the purpose he has called us to fulfill in our lives. And what do I mean by that? Is that God has called us to a purpose. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and see all of this God had laid out before me, and I missed half of it because I was over here trying to live my own life the way I wanted to live it. And God said, I had an abundant life for you. I had a fulfilled life for you. I had a joy-packed life for you. I had a peaceful life for you. But you missed so much of it trying to live your life the way you thought you should be living it. No, God says, when you surrender to me, I will give you the abundant life. He said, clear out the clutter of doubt. He said, stop second guessing yourself. He said, stop living in regret. He wants us to stop doing that. Then God started talking to me. He said, you asked the question, what am I restoring you to? He said, I'm restoring you so that you can help restore others. In the midst of restoring me, before, during, and after, he's still using me to help restore others. Why? Because restoration doesn't come so that we can sit and be comfortable in our complacency states. He's changing us and restoring us to him so that we can find out what his image is, what his view is on things, so that we can start living to the fulfillment of what he has called us to do in this time. God wants us to totally sell out to his plan and his direction for our lives. We think we're living the abundant life, And the reason why we think it is because we have a set agenda and a set plan of how our lives would go. And what we do is that we say, God, I want you to come here. I want you to come and I want you to come and bless this that I have, because this is how I see my life. And God said, that's not what I called you to. That's not the abundant life that I have for you. You need to let go of that mess and live in the abundance of what I have called you to. And he doesn't say it like that. He says it with love, but I didn't. But God says it with so much love to us. He's calling us and he's letting us know, I love you so much. I don't want you to miss out on anything. There is nothing that God has for us that he wants us to miss out on. Then he started telling me what a restorer does. He said, a restorer takes what is hiding. He takes what is broken. He takes what is tired. He takes what is desperate. He takes what is weak and he brings it back to life. God wants us to find those that are hiding, those that are broken, those that are tired, those that are desperate, those that are weak. And he wants us to restore them with the word of God. That's what he is calling us to. He said, a restorer takes hold of what has been forgotten. It shines its light on the truth of light. God wants us to bring some things that were forgotten back to the light. And he wants us to shine light on that. What? God's word is light. There is no darkness. A lot of us are looking at our lives through dark glasses. And God says, take off the dark glasses because I'm not in darkness. I'm in light. Put on your light glasses and look at all that I have called you into. I have a plan. I have a plan for your life. If you will drop your nets and follow me. He said that a restorer gives light. A restorer gives hope. A restorer gives strength. A restorer gives truth. A restorer gives a new way of being or a new way of existence to those that have been forgotten. Though there have been some people that have been forgotten, and God is saying, now is not the time for us to shut down in the pandemic and go through our woe is me time, because there are some lost souls out there that need to know who God is and need to know what the word of God says. A restorer brings back things and make things beautiful again. And that's what God is calling us to. He's wanting us to help people to see that he's a loving God. You know, the first thing when something happens is that everybody want to call on God, but they as time goes on, they totally forget about God. And then, you know, because things have kind of adjusted back to their normal life. So then they forget about God. But God says, no, I'm in everything. Everything that goes on, I'm in. So we have to find the light and bring people to the fullness of who God is, what he's doing, and how he's doing, and that he's a loving God. He loves us so much. He loves us with all that his being. He created us in his image. So therefore, we are love. We are truth. We are hope. There's a word I'm looking for and it's not coming to me now, so I'm going to go on. A restorer yields in partnership with God to help restore. And how do we yield? We yield our obedience with God's grace. Our obedience with God's grace helps people get restored. Our obedience, Lord, you can use me. You can use me, Lord, in any way or fashion that you want to use me. Use me. God's grace. God has his grace on people's lives to change their lives. So, but we have to be willing and obedient and we'll eat the good of the land. That's what the word says. So my thing was, Father, during this time, I want to know what it is that I need to drop my nets to follow you. So he said, Cheryl, he said, every day people are always confessing my scriptures. You're always confessing my scriptures, but what scriptures do you truly believe? I tell you, I had to think about that because we are so strong. Even when Pastor Mark is speaking or our Elder Jason is speaking and we're hearing the word, the one thing that I know is that Faith Word Fellowship, International and Faith Word Fellowship Canada has a very strong foundation in the Word of God. We are fed strong, fulfilled words from the Word. I mean, the Word content that we get is dynamic. I can't put a cap on anything that we're taught. We get good word here. Our foundation is strong. Our wall, our pillars that hold us up are strong because of the word that we get. But the thing about it is God is wanting to change some things on the inside of us. Pastor Mark, when he's talking about restore, and I mentioned the layers. There are some layers that the Lord wants to start taking off so that we can walk in the fulfillment of how he is restoring us. Some of those layers is what hindering us from truly receiving and acknowledging who God is in our lives and truly walking in the purpose that God has called us to. One of the things he asked me, he said, do you truly believe the scriptures that you confess? He said, you always confess with God, all things are possible. But yet, when a circumstance comes up, we cower down. Or we start looking at our ability. Or we start looking at what we don't have. But we just said, with God, all things are possible. Are they all possible or are they not all possible? We have to make up our mind. Are you straddling the fence? Sometimes, God, you're all possible. But then sometimes, God, I got to do this on my own. And God said, no, when you surrender to me, all things are possible. Then we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we truly believe that? No, because when circumstances come or when things come on us, the first thing we want to do is cower back because we're looking at life through our dark sunglasses. We're looking at life through what we can accomplish. But God says, don't look at it through what you can accomplish. You look at it through what I can accomplish. All things are possible through him that believeth. There is nothing too hard for God. Do we truly believe it? You have to ask yourself, do I truly believe that? If I truly believe that, then I wouldn't look at my circumstances the way that I look at them. I wouldn't go through my circumstances the way I go through them. Why? Because there is nothing too hard for God. Then we say, cast all your cares on him because he cares for me. Do we cast all our cares? No. We carry the majority of our cares. We worry. We're worried about our jobs. We're worried about our children. We're worried about our life. We're worried about our finances. We're worried about everything around the sun because we have not cast all our cares on him. You said, Pastor Cheryl, but we still got to live in this world. You can live in this world, but you don't have to be of this world. God says that we are spiritual beings and we're living in a natural experience. We are above things because we serve a spiritual God who knows all things. He sees all things. There is nothing hidden from him. So if there's nothing hidden from him and we have direct communication with him, then there's nothing hidden from us. He says, I will trust in the Lord with my whole heart, and I will not lean into my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to trust him. In all my ways, I'm going to trust him. In all my ways, I'm going to trust him. Praise God. Pastor Mark made a statement. I must have authority for restoration to be complete and to be whole. Amen. He said, I must have authority for restoration, completion, and wholeness. And then God asked me, he said, are you going to forfeit your authority? You have authority. We have the utmost authority in God. Am I going to forfeit my authority to truly live the life that God wants me to live? I refuse to forfeit my authority, and I'm going to learn to live the life to the fullest that God has called me to live. Will I settle for mediocre life or will I be comfortable in it that I'm comfortable in? Or will I rise up above and live in the fullness of what God has called me to? Will I fully live in my purpose that God has called me to? I choose to live in the purpose, and I choose to turn down the mediocre life any longer. Will I choose to drop my nets and follow with my whole heart? I choose to drop all my nets, because even though it's going to take some restoration and renewing of my mind to do it, I'm dropping my nets because I want to follow God with my whole heart. If I can live the abundant life on earth, why am I going to wait till I get to heaven? I'm not going to have to, I don't have to wait till I get to heaven. So why wait till I get to heaven? What, and this one really, really, really struck me because I was like, oh my goodness. He said, what will your legacy be to your children and your children's children? I was like, wow, because I want my legacy to be that she lived a life to the fullest and she lived it unto God and she glorified God in her life. She did everything that she could to do what God had called us to do, and she lived to her full purpose. I want that to be my calling card. I want that to be what God has called me to. And then he started talking about, he gave me a couple of words for restoration. He said, repent. And I have them in this order for a specific reason. He said, repent. And Pastor Mark has taught us, repent is to turn away from. That means that you got to turn away from the way you were living and start walking in the newness. Then he said, refocus, make the necessary adjustment to change to something different. And then he said, reform, to make changes to improve, to refine something or to make it better. And then he said, renew, start over, make new. Change the quality of. And he said, that's what you need to do with your life. You need to repent, turn away from your old ways. You need to refocus, put your full focus on the word of God and what God has called your purpose to. You need to reform. I need to improve my life. So therefore, for me to improve what I am changing, I'm turning away from, I have to get in the word of God to fully charge myself and learn what it is God is calling me to and how to do it, because everything is in God's word. How we supposed to live, how to live, how to enjoy life. It's all in God's word. Then I'm to renew myself because I'm renewing my mind. I'm renewing my mind by the word of God each and every day, my time alone with him, my praying and my fasting. And prayer is an important part because a lot of us forget about prayer. But prayer is my one-on-one with him, my time with God. And that's when we start learning to hear what God is saying. We have to know and hear what God is saying. A lot of us want to talk, but you don't want to stop and listen. If you don't stop and listen after you get finished talking, you're not going to hear what God is saying. It's a monologue. It's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's not just you talking and telling God, but it's you hearing what God says. And one of the things that I have learned, and I was reading one of these Bible programs, and I showed it to Pastor Mark, and I said, you know what? I said, my prayers have been weak. I said, I have been having some weak prayers. I was reading this one particular prayer that these monks had prayed, and the way they prayed it, I was astounded by. And I said, I need to really sit down and rethink my prayer life, because I'm more praying about the problem and the situation than I am praying about the God of the problem and the situation. So therefore, I've had to readjust my thinking, readjust my talking, so that my praying, so that I can tune myself in with what God is saying in his word. So I'm now learning to learn to pray more of the word and get out of my circumstances and out of the way that I have been doing it. And I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this. This is called a father's plea. And this is God speaking to you. This is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he's speaking to you. I want you to hear it as if God is standing right in front of you talking to you. Why do you want to remain here, stuck, convinced that this is all there is for you? Your faith is small. Your imagination limited by the problems pressing in. Problems are not going fully away. Not while you are on earth. Not while my son has not yet come again. But why do you not lift your head? Why can you not look into my eyes? Why won't you look away from the problems? Why are you fixating on them as if worrying about them would give you control over them somehow? Look at me. See me looking at you. See my love for you. It is all around. It is in you. For I am here, all around you. I am within you. You are my beloved. But do you hear me? You often don't hear me, but I am speaking. I am talking to you. I am loving you. I am going before you. I am before you and beneath you. I am to your right and to your left. I am in the air and in the soil. I am in all things that breathe, and I am where breath is not. Also, you are my dearest one, my child whom I protect and I rejoice over. You are my favorite. I'm God's favorite. I just want y'all to know that. You are my favorite. There is no one else I love more than you. There is not one bit of my love that I would hold from you. So I want to fill you. I want to restore you. I want to help you to feel my love. Trust in my love. Make every decision from my love. Because while problems may not go away anytime soon, you need not despair. There will be a day when you realize your problems are so, so small and you are okay. You've always been okay. You've always been cared for. You've always been carried. You've always had me. You've always been enough. You've always had enough. You've always been the one that I've loved. But why wait for that day? Why assume it's not coming anytime soon? So you better hunker down and try to figure out a solution to your every problem. Why obsess over the problems you can't fix? Worry and worry and worry about them. This is a wasted life. This is a foolish way to live. This is a throwing away of what I give you. This is an ignoring and rejecting of my love. And you get to do that. You get to reject me, ignore me, forget me, not love me. You get to choose how you spend your days. You get to choose indifference. You get to choose complacency. You get to choose stubbornness. You get to choose hard-heartedness. You get to choose pride. You get to choose self-righteousness. You get to choose to go away. Go so far away from me in your heart. But I am not leaving you. And I am not giving up on you. And I am not forgetting you. I will let you resist me. I will let you deny me. I will let you not love me, and I will love you always the same, always the same. I am here, my son. I am here, my daughter. Come home. You are loved here. You are cared for here. You are wanted here. You are enough here. Come, come, come. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's teaching from Faith Word Fellowship International and Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship and to receive additional resources, please visit our website at www.faithwordfellowship.org.